Well, look at us. Straight up at 8 o'clock, it's a Monday edition of the Mornings with Ed Show, and welcome to the program on a windy Monday morning here in Orange County. So, they just redrew the districts, and the newly redrawn district, the 36th district, encompasses all of Orange, all of coastal Orange County, including Huntington Beach, Newport, and right here at home in Laguna Beach. It also goes inland to cities like Fountain Valley and Westminster and Garden Grove and Cypress and Huntington Beach and Buena Park. Running for the state Senate seat to represent this 36th district is Huntington Beach City Councilwoman and Mayor, former Mayor, they serve a year each like they do here, Kim Carr. Welcome to the studio, Kim. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being here. Delighted to have you this morning.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here on a beautiful, beautiful Monday morning here in Laguna Beach.
Yeah, and we're not even going to sweat the wind. Sure, it's going to get a little windy, but we're used to it here. So you're a lifetime Southern Californian.
True. Mm-hmm. I'm a third generation Southern California. I was actually born in Torrance and then moved to Garden Grove when I was six. Okay. So I have lived in this particular district my entire life. Grew up in Garden Grove, graduated from Pacifica High School, went to Cal State Fullerton, met the love of my life in Long Beach, and we have lived in Orange County for, it seems like forever. So I have two kids. My daughter is a senior at Huntington Beach High School, and my son is a sophomore at UC Davis.
Congratulations. Yeah, congratulations. So. And they're doing their own thing. They're at the age now where it's like, all right, we're doing our own thing.
Absolutely. It's like, Mom, you've got your political thing going, and we've got our thing going. So it's all good.
Well, for you, this started 20-something years ago in community involvement in Huntington Beach, right?
Yeah, I always say I have that helium hand when people are asking for volunteers, my right hand just automatically starts to drift up. And so I've been involved in everything from being on the PTA to being the soccer mom to being involved in the first community garden that we have in Huntington Beach. And so wherever there's a need, I've always participated. In fact, you know, we're here in a radio station. I was always a volunteer at KCRW during their pledge drives. And so I've just always had that, you know, civic-minded, giving back to the community, and that's really who I've always been. So this transition into politics really isn't much different being a public servant.
Right. You mentioned soccer mom. I immediately wanted to slice some oranges for some reason. I'm not sure why.
You know, those soccer moms, God bless them, is what they say, AYSO, all your Saturday is occupied, So that was our life, and I loved it. And so getting into politics was sort of by accident, to be honest. Like I said, I've always been involved in the community, and it really wasn't until an incident happened in my neighborhood that affected my neighbors that we realized how important it was to have people on city council that really listened to the community and responded. And so, to make a long story short, there was a business behind my home that was in violation of the AQMD and, you know, producing a lot of toxins that were essentially poisoning our neighborhood. Right. And so we got together, we got a petition together, and somehow I became sort of the leader of this group just by accident. And it really did shed a light on
leadership is never an accident. It isn't. They're drawn to you like a magnet. You can see it. You can feel it.
You know, I've always been very organized and detail oriented. And so I just started to go down this path of, you know, correcting what was wrong. And it was stunning to find people on our city council who were just there for the title and really didn't want to put in the work. And so through that activism, I was able to get appointed to the Public Works Commission. So I served on that for 6 years and then really got the inside view of how local government works. From there, I decided, you know, I'm going to run for office. And, you know, I'm not a political insider. I didn't have all these connections.
Right.
But I was running against four very well-established Republican incumbents. And people just pretty much wrote me off. They said, there's no way that this soccer mom who has no experience, who doesn't have a ton of money.
In Orange County,
in Huntington Beach, which leans plus 12 Republican, who's a Democrat, is going to win this seat. But not only did I win, there were four seats open. I beat two incumbents. Almost came in second place. And so much of it was because I am involved in the community. Right. People knew me. And, you know, I knocked on so many doors and I had so many people come out of the woodwork and volunteer for me. Like I said, you know, I was blessed to be surrounded by angels who said, you know, we need somebody like you, somebody who's pragmatic and rational. And, you know, I have...
Let's quickly talk about... just for a second, quickly talk about your record as a council person. Yes. So if we look at it, it shows you've been pretty effective on the council and back when you were mayor, despite a lot of the distractions that happened. And no, those were not of your making. In some cases, they were really just sideshows.
Yeah.
Anyway, everybody knows that. We'll get to some of those later, maybe. But how does the work that you're doing now as a member of the council and the work that you've done the last 20 years, how does this make you the best candidate for state senator?
Well, I think one of the things that makes me the best candidate is I just don't talk about the problems, I solve them. And so when it came to issues like homelessness, it's one thing to complain about homelessness or say, why isn't the city doing anything? But it takes a lot of work to actually come up with thoughtful, compassionate, effective, and efficient solutions. And so, you know, I started working on that right away. And in our city, we opened up a navigation center. We also were the first city to launch mobile crisis units to effectively address mental health, substance abuse, and then also just well checks for people that, you know, may be lonely right now. So we partnered with Be Well OC, and we were the first city in Orange County to go and address these non-violent, non-emergency calls, which typically we have the police department respond to.
Right.
And instead, we have a mental health professional and a medical professional go out and talk to people. And that has just been so profound and so transformative. We receive over 14,000 police calls for this. And this really now frees up our cops to do what they want to do, right, which is fight crime.
Right, right. And they appreciate that. They appreciate not having to go out on those calls.
Absolutely. Because, I mean, these are some serious issues that are not so clear. And, you know, for a lot of folks, the emergency room is not the best place for them. And to have this service available really has made a huge impact on our community. And we've seen other communities now model what we are doing in Huntington Beach. So Newport Beach, I know, is looking at this. Garden Grove is getting to launch, Irvine. But that's the kind of work that I like to do.
Right.
And it does take a lot of time and a lot of energy. And, you know, you have people that push back.
Right.
And that's okay, because if you have right on your side, you know you can get through this. And so I just am I feel really blessed to be surrounded with a council that gets it and wants to do the similar work that I want to do.
Can you see the success that you've had with that particular program in Huntington Beach transforming into a district-wide success?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And I think that the county will get on board to do something like this. But, you know, I was actually talking to Marshall Moncrief, who heads up Be Well OC, and we were talking about, could we do something on a regional level? But And you know this, each community is distinct. Each community has its own needs. So what may work in Huntington Beach may not work in Garden Grove.
Let me scratch off my next question for you. Exactly. So how do you navigate that?
Well, I think it really requires the leaders to be thoughtful and to address what are the real issues in each community. And if you are somebody like me or somebody who's boots on the ground and is really in touch with their community, you know what works. And, you know, you talk to your police officers as well. You talk to your firefighters and you see what's happening. And so we've done a lot of additional work as far as we've done our own point in time count. I know the point in time count is coming up here and the end of February, but we've done our own for Huntington Beach to really find out how many people are we talking about that we need to help. So it's just, again, it's a matter of taking the time and the energy to do it, but it can be done.
Right.
And that's why I think I'm the best candidate, is that, you know, I've only missed one council meeting my entire time. And that, unfortunately, was because my husband had a heart attack while surfing. And so he was at Hoke Hospital, and that was my one meeting. But I take my job very seriously, and I feel grateful and proud and fortunate to be able to serve. And I think if you get this opportunity, you better bake the most of it. And I've always done that. And so I just feel, like I said, really blessed to have the opportunity to serve my community And when this redistricting happened,
right.
it just seemed like the natural next step.
Right. So when you saw the lines being redrawn, you thought, yeah, this is my backyard.
I can do this. This is my home.
Right.
And this has really been the theme of my campaign is this is my home and this is why I'm fighting for my home. And really to make my home a better place, not just for me, but for my kids.
Right.
Hopefully one day grandkids. We'll see. You know, I don't know.
There's time. A lot of time. If your oldest is 20 right now, there's a lot of time.
My mother, she 4 kids. I'm the second oldest. And she thought that she would have a ton of grandchildren. She has 2. So, you know, everybody each to their own.
Right. So is your husband fully recovered? How's he doing?
He still has difficulty walking. Okay. And he hasn't been surfing since. Okay. But he's one of the lucky ones. And we say that all the time is that, you know, while he was surfing, I mean, his heart stopped and he went into the water. And it was only by the grace of God that there were 2 surfers nearby that saw this happen and were able to scoop him up out of the water and drag him to shore. And beach maintenance just happened to be there. And they started CPR right away.
Okay.
And our lifeguards came out and then our paramedics, and it was a brutal story, but we spent the next 23 days at Hoag Hospital. And these are things that you just never know. Like right. you're doing your thing and then all of a sudden your life turns completely upside down. But as I say, we have the happy ending.
Right.
Not many people get to where we are. In fact, in the hospital, you know, my husband was referred to as the miracle man. Because they couldn't believe that he had recovered so well.
Right.
But, you know, so when it comes to public health, obviously I'm very passionate about that and making sure that people have access to public health. So when it comes to our first responders, I'm very passionate about that as well, because it's critical that we have people who are highly trained, who have the skills to be able to respond. You know, what they see on my worst day is their every day. And I think that we all need to be sensitive to that.
And you'll intend to keep your finger on the pulse of the first responders as well?
Absolutely, okay. Yes. Right. I mean, I have great support right. from the first responders. And I feel in a lot of ways, especially in Huntington Beach, we're like family. Because so much of what the firefighters would tell me is that in the paramedics, after they treat a patient and they go off to Hoag Hospital, they don't know what happens after that.
Right.
And because of HEPA laws and everything, you can't. And so with this, you know, my husband was John Doe at Hoag Hospital. When you surf, you don't wear ID.
Right, right.
And I had no idea where he was. I was that person calling the hospital saying, I know this sounds really weird and I know I may be overreacting, but do you happen to have somebody? And you feel so weird making right. those calls. And sure enough, Hoag Hospital said, yeah, actually we do. And when I told the firefighters that as well, it's like they couldn't believe that that was my husband. And so to see his, recovery, it's been rewarding for them as well.
Thank you for that slice of real life.
Yeah, I would say it was crazy. Yeah. I was absolutely crazy. But I'm so grateful and we're so lucky.
And we're grateful for, we're thankful for you. So and pass that along to him. We'll keep checking back from time to time.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
As of this morning, as we're sitting here, there's just 2 candidates running for state
Correct.
Senate, right? Yourself and a Republican candidate
Correct.
On the other side. Do you intend to run the primary different than you would the general? Let's say it's just the 2 of you now and no one else gets in. Are you expecting anyone else to get in, by the way?
I don't, but you never know.
Right.
I mean, you just really never know. And there could be somebody out there waiting in the wings to sort of say, well, let's see. If it
seems a little late.
It does seem a little late,
right.
but, you know, with the redistricting, everything is sort of upside down.
Right.
I don't anticipate anybody else getting in the race. This is a big race.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
I mean, it's a huge race.
So will you operate the primary moving into June differently than you will from June to November?
Yeah, we will definitely have a different strategy, particularly if there's only 2 in the primary versus the general. And I think we're all looking at the primary as if there's only 2 and the top 2 get to advance. Certainly name ID, it's not like we're going to just rest on our laurels and just we're not going to do anything. No, we're absolutely doing a lot to make sure that people are aware of who I am. We're doing events, we're getting out, I'm speaking, as I mentioned earlier, almost every night, getting out to, you know, let people know who I am.
Right. Right. A door opened this past weekend as the RNC declared the January 6th insurrection was just legitimate political discourse and not an attack on democracy. Are you going to be asking your Republican opponent in the general to defend that position?
Absolutely. In fact, I had coffee with a constituent who had echoed those same talking points to me, and I was flabbergasted. Right. I could not believe that this was somehow a one-hour protest when this was a clear attack on our democracy. I studied American studies at Cal State Fullerton, and I have my minor in economics, and so this is something I'm really passionate about, and I'm just appalled, and I can't believe that this is where the Republican Party is headed. So I absolutely will be asking in there. I have a lot of other questions for her as well, particularly her voting record. She was called out by the Orange County Register, which is typically a more conservative paper, right. more favorable to conservative candidates,
right?
Typically.
Right.
But even they called out that she has the worst voting record of any Orange County legislator, missing 42% of her votes. And, again, I think if you are lucky enough to get this job to serve your community, you've got to show up to work.
Right.
You've got to take those hard votes. And so, to me, that's just I can't even understand that, to be quite honest, because, again, this gets back to my personal experience when I saw people who were elected to the office and they didn't do the work.
Right.
And there's a huge difference. We've shown it here in Huntington Beach that when you have people who are motivated, who want to do the work, things will get done.
Right.
And you can make things happen. You can move mountains. But if you are just getting this job because you are a career politician and you bounce from one seat to the next seat to the next seat, enough. Those days are over. We can't afford it. Not as a country, not as a community. And so that's why it's so imperative that we elect the right people to do the real work.
Right. It's tough. It's tough to deliver for a constituency when you're moving, when you're looking for something else,
true.
When you're standing on a dime and looking for the quarter, as they used to say. So
When you're just looking for your next gig, perpetually looking for your next gig. And that's why I've always been sort of like, I'm focused on the city council and I put everything into it. When I was mayor, one of my Republican colleagues said, "Kim, you are the hardest working mayor I've ever seen." And I did. I just felt like every day was critical. What could we do? And we did our strategic planning session last Friday, and we had over 100 ideas that we wanted to implement for the city, and we achieved 50 of them. And people were stunned at all of the things that we did, from implementing community choice energy to the homeless shelter that I mentioned, to fully funding our pensions, to ending the year with a $10 million surplus. We never raised taxes. We made sure that all of our MOUs with every labor group were updated. I mean, these were big things where most people could get like one or two of those things done. We did it all and then some.
And in reaching out to some of the other council members, they all had good tabs for you. They really, and I would say it. If one of them had something to bark at you about, I'd say it. But no, they didn't. However, though, there was at the end of last year a problem with the attorney, the city attorney.
Right.
Now, Huntington Beach is the only city in Orange County that elects the city attorney. And recently there's been some friction. What can you explain that to us? What's going on?
Well, we do have an adversarial relationship right now with our city attorney, and that really stems from the council has questioned some of the city attorney's judgment calls or advice.
Right.
And so in those instances, we've asked for a second opinion.
Okay.
And the city attorney is basically blocking us from getting those second opinions. And His stance is, I am the alpha and the omega. I am the beginning and the end. My legal opinion is word.
Right.
And we don't agree with that.
Right.
We think that we should have the opportunity to get outside legal when necessary.
Right.
And especially if there's a situation that involves the city attorney, then we absolutely need outside legal. As one of my council members said, it's sort of like an old Bugs Bunny cartoon where Bugs is the judge and he's the lawyer and he's the witness
right.
and Bugs is like changing, costumes
right.
and each thing. And so we're sort of like, well, Mr. Gates, you can't be the attorney and you can't be the client and you can't be all of these things. Like, there's going to be some times where we need outside legal. And
like in the case where there's an age or two age discrimination lawsuits in his very office.
Right.
Naming him, right?
Right. And for that particular case, we did at his request, we had to have outside legal for that.
Right.
And so I do think it's interesting that he is upset that we are hiring or we want to hire outside legal. And yet during this whole process, he has hired outside legal.
Right.
He has somebody else representing him and sending the counsel and threatening to sue the counsel if we decide to do certain things. So you can't have your city attorney with this adversarial relationship with the council, because at the end of the day, we are the client. And while Mr. Gates is an elected city attorney, he is purely just the head of the legal department for the city of Huntington Beach. He doesn't write policy. He doesn't represent the constituents. He represents the legal department. It's as simple as that.
So do you foresee at some point, because Huntington Beach has its own charter.
Yes,
right?
We do.
So do you foresee at some point changing how we get the city attorney in Huntington Beach?
Well, we are currently going through a charter review right now.
Okay.
And that process involved every city council member appointing one person to sit on the charter review commission so that they could look at different areas of the charter that needed to be updated, refreshed, modernized. And that is one of the areas that I imagine they will recommend. So they will bring all of their recommendations back to the council. The council will then vote on whether they want to make those changes or not. And then those will have to be put on the ballot for the residents to approve or not. So appointing or electing a city attorney has come up before, and the residents typically choose to stay with, well, I don't want my city council or a city manager. I want to have that choice.
Right.
And I get that point of view. But what's imperative is that we're not talking about a policymaker here. We're talking about who can do the job the best.
Right.
And if you put the limitations on of, well, they need to live in the city and they need to be a politician and they need to run for office and they need to do this, you really shrink your pool of qualified applicants for it. And so if this wasn't an elected position, if we did have the ability to appoint, we probably would have a bigger base to pull from. And, you know, maybe we would get better legal advice. I don't know.
That makes a lot of sense.
It does. I mean, I just think my background is, you know, I'm a businesswoman. I spent 25 years in media, and that's really my background. And I just look at what's the most efficient and what makes the most sense. And, you know, as a businesswoman, I can't even imagine the head of the legal department of Tribune or any company I worked for being the spokesperson for the city or trying to dictate how the city was going or how a business was going to be managed. Can you imagine, like, the head of legal of Apple telling people what to do?
Right.
No. And so it's a very unique situation that Huntington Beach has, and we'll see if the voters want to make the change or not in November.
Right. And we'll tab back on that one as well. So I want to look forward to just past November. You win the election, you're a state senator. What are your biggest, what are the things on your plate at that point? The first things that you got to eat off the plate.
Right. Well, obviously homelessness and mental health. And I think that there is a real opportunity here for us to address homelessness, mental health, health care. Housing clearly is a very hot button in every community where we have issues with the Coastal Commission and HCD. And I really do feel like the right hand isn't talking to the left hand. Clearly, business recovery, COVID is still with us and businesses are still suffering. And so we can't ignore that. I feel like we've been living with it for so long that it's sort of like we've just become numb to it. But at the same time, you talk to these local business owners and a lot of them are still struggling. So we definitely need to work on that. And the other thing that I know that the governor's done a really good job when it comes to addressing senior issues in the Master Plan on Aging recently came out. But we are a graying community. We're a graying state. And just in Huntington Beach, it's one of the little fun facts that people don't know about. It has the second largest senior population in all of Orange County.
Well, that is fun.
And you wouldn't know that. You wouldn't know
really,
that if you saw it.
I wouldn't have guessed. I would never have guessed.
Right? No. And so And these are the things that we really do need to address on what are we going to do to make sure that our seniors are able to age in place and able to maintain their quality of life. Right now in Huntington Beach, I'm working with a group of mobile home residents, which is, it's a pretty much a senior community. It's a senior mobile home park, and they've been recently purchased by a large corporation. And they're fearful about the rent increases going up. And so we're trying to come up with solutions on how can we mitigate that and make sure that these seniors are able to age in their homes and stay there. So those are the tough questions that I think that we need policymakers to address. And again, want to do the work.
Right.
And really take on controversial issues.
And when you say that we need policymakers to address, you're not talking about this circle of year after year after year of talking about the same thing, just talking about it. You're talking about drawing that straight line and solving it.
Absolutely. And that's where I think, you know, in homelessness, we haven't solved it in Huntington Beach. You know, we've made tremendous progress, but just talking about it isn't going to do anything.
Right.
You're not going to move anything. So we absolutely have to really do something and put money behind it.
Right.
You know, to do the Be Well program, it cost the city $1.5 million. And we asked our state legislators to help fund this program. We didn't get any love. And so we basically said, you know what, we're going to have to do it ourselves.
Right.
And now that it's shown to be a very popular, very successful program, I would imagine the state will help.
You got
to be bold. You have to be able to do that.
Right. Well, thank you for being bold. Do you have a website our listeners can tap into?
Yes, it's www.votekimcarr.com, and that's Carr with two R's. So KIMCARR.com.
Huntington Beach City Councilwoman running for the 36th District for State Senate here in Orange County. Kim Carr, come back to the show sometime?
Absolutely. I would love to. Thank you.
Thank you for sitting with us for the conversation this morning.
My pleasure.
8:27 the time.